morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I once again encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. In the back portion or on the back page of the one sheet bulletin, you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes, along with some take-home sermon reflections that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you as you and I continue to meditate upon and pray over the message that God will ultimately give us today that he desires for us to take out with us this morning. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, please raise your hand, and one of our ushers or greeters would be glad to get something to you as well. So this morning, I thought we would begin our time together in God's Word with a little pop culture trivia. Are you ready? Now, if you need to phone a friend, look to your neighbor, to your left or your right, it's okay. It's okay to swap answers. But finish this statement if you would. Robert Young and Jane Wyatt with Eleanor Donahue, Billy Gray, and Lauren Chapin in Father Knows Best. Oh, how many of you didn't get that reference? Let's see where the age breakdown is today. Yeah. Father Knows Best, right? Maybe you've heard of this. It follows the life of the Anderson family in the Midwest. Jim, Margaret, Betty, Bud, and Kathy. Yeah, you know the family. Father Knows Best. Throughout the series, if you didn't catch it by the title, this is the big takeaway. And what is it? Father Knows Best. Yeah. When the son breaks his arm, and he doesn't know how the paper route's going to get taken care of, Dad steps in with some sage advice and wisdom, and in that moment, guess what the family realizes and what you, the audience, recognizes? What? Father Knows Best. When important legal documents are stuck in the washing machine by accident and they come out soggy and in need of some drying and maybe some tape, Father steps in and offers some sage advice and wisdom and some experience. And the situation is diffused. And in that moment, once again, the family, but you at home, know this once again. What is it? Father Knows Best. When life rolls the family, when anxieties and fears and worries plague the scene, when things aren't going well at school with a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when things in the neighborhood just aren't going the way they should, when work is up and down, and when things in the home are kind of hit and miss, Father steps in, and in that moment, there seems to be a moment of peace. Why? Because Father knows best. In our gospel lesson this morning from Luke chapter 12, we learn this takeaway once again. And from God's mouth to your heart and mind this morning, here's a really big takeaway for life, and it's just this. Father knows best. This morning, we're going to see how Jesus speaks to something that maybe you've encountered, and maybe you're wrestling with it right now, a little something called worry. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if there's something in your life going on where this has become the heading over your life season, worry. Maybe you find yourself in the middle of a financial situation, and right now you are worried. Maybe you've gotten some news that's health-related, or you're still waiting, and now this word is kind of hanging over your head like a swinging pendulum. Worry. Maybe relationships just aren't what they were not that long ago. And you're starting to look down the road and you can't quite see how it's going to work out. And this word has found a place in your house, but maybe in your heart. Worry. My question to you this morning is this. When something in life rolls your way and it's unexpected, what's your pattern of response? When somebody says something that you just didn't expect to hear, how do you operate? When a situation comes your way at home or at work or at school and it knocks you back a couple steps, how do you typically respond? What's your pattern of behavior? What's your thought process? Who do you talk to first? Where do you go? What do you use to get through it? In a moment, we're going to see a video clip. And this is the question teased out for us through this clip. In a number of ways, this is a question teased out for us in God's Word this morning. What kind of person are you? When these things come your way and you don't expect them, and they carry with them those horsemen of worry, doubt, fear, and concern, what kind of person are you? Or maybe as you leave today, what kind of person will you be? In the video clip I'm about to show you, the situation is this. There's a family in a community, and there's a lot going on in the community, and truth be told, across the world, that just doesn't make sense. and you got a lot of people looking outside and looking around with their hands up in the air, and they're kind of emotionally and mentally shrugging, and they don't quite know what to do. This morning, as we take a look at this video clip, I'd like to invite you to listen in for the dialogue, and I'd like to invite you to see if you resonate with what they're going through. Let's take a look.
Some people are probably thinking this is the end of the world.
That's true.
Do you think it could be?
Yes.
How can you say that?
That wasn't the answer you wanted.
Couldn't you pretend to be like it used to be? Give me some comfort.
People break down into two groups. When they experience something lucky, group number one sees it as more than luck, more than coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching out for them. Group number two sees it as just pure luck, a happy turn of chance. I'm sure the people in group number two are looking at those 14 lights in a very suspicious way. For them, this situation is a 50-50. Could be bad. Could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. Yeah, there are those people. But there's a whole lot of people in the group number one. And they see those 14 lights. They're looking at a miracle. And deep down, they feel that whatever's going to happen, there'll be someone there to help them. And that fills them with hope. See, what you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you?
Two responses come out of this situation. And I wonder if you resonate with one of these or maybe both of these this morning. The first response that you heard teased out, and maybe just maybe you're in that season of life today. First response goes something like this. No one is watching out for us. Whatever happens, we are on our own. We are completely alone. Have you ever felt that way in life? Feel like that whatever you're going through, it's got to be up to you, or it ain't going to get done? Do you know somebody that's going through a season like that? Maybe a coworker or a friend, family member? I don't understand the situation. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do know this. It's all up to me. Do you know somebody that's going through that? Response number two goes a little something like this, and it's completely different. Someone is watching out for us. Deep down, whatever happens, there will be someone who's going to come through when it matters most. I don't know who it is. I don't know when the help's going to come. But I believe in the bottom of my heart, whatever it is, someone will be there. Is that your faith? My question is, have you felt that way before? Truth be told, I can take a look at both those responses and I can say, yeah, there's been times in life where I've been there. Sometimes life rocks us really hard, doesn't it? And sometimes when we look to the things or the people that have maybe helped us in the past and they're not there, we feel alone, don't we? And then comes worry and fear and doubt. My question to you once again this morning is this: what kind of person are you? When life comes at you with something you didn't expect, circumstances, individuals, conversations, and so on that you just didn't see coming, how do you typically respond? Is it, I'm all alone, or it's going to be okay? Two responses to worry come to us from God's heart to yours and mine this morning from Luke chapter 12. The first one is this. I invite you to follow along on the screens up front, if you would. From Luke chapter 12, verse 29 and follows. Jesus said, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." Response number one is just this. If you haven't been taking notes, maybe this is a good time. And if you're not writing them down, at least write them down here. Response number one is just this. It's the world's response. And the world's response is just this. I trust in myself. When something needs to happen, when something just needs to get done, when I don't understand the situation and there's a lot going on and I don't see any other help on the scene, if it's going to be, it's all up to me. We hear a lot of that in the world, don't we? There's a lot of books that sell really well with that kind of mantra. Here are the top 10 ways to get yourself out of this hole. And maybe you've come to the bottom of the list. You're like, okay, where's number 11? That just didn't work. First 10 didn't work. Where's 11? Sometimes this is what's given to us. Sometimes this is the coaching message that's given to you and to me through television, social media, books, school, at work. If it's going to be, it's all up to who? Me. But God loves you enough to give you another way. And we heard it through our gospel lesson once again this morning from Luke chapter 12. And it's the Christ follower's way. And if you haven't heard this before, then please listen up. This is what Jesus says, Luke 12, 22 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" Years ago, when I was going through middle school, and I was starting out with football, learned somewhere along the way I'm not built for football, but I was trying because that was a thing to do back in rural Nebraska amidst the cornfields and cow pasture. You played football. You threw this pigskin around, and you knocked each other down, and you hoped you got back up. And my mom would watch me in the morning eating breakfast, and she could just see it written all over my face. I don't want to go to practice today. I don't know if I'm built for football, but I don't know if there's any other sport around here that's endorsed by the community. You feel that way? And mom would point me to scripture passages like this, and she had a little calendar reminder that she would set on the corner of the counter, and she would walk it over, and I remember as crystal clear, high definition, what it said. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will do what? But worry about itself. See, sometimes worry is just this, taking what could happen tomorrow and trying to process through it today. Do you get that? Last week, and if you're with us or you're not with us, just a really quick recap. Last week, we took a look at a passage once again from the Gospel of Luke. And this person came up to Jesus with a request that Jesus somehow step into the situation and be arbitrator and mediator between he and his relatives so they could get some cut of the land. And Jesus gave him this parable. And he talked about this rich farmer who was really well off. And at the end of the parable, this guy is trying to set himself up for life. He's got some barns, he's got some silos, but he wants bigger ones. Why? So he can keep storing up more and more stuff. But the one thing he's not storing up in his life is just this. And it's not a thing, it's a who. It's Jesus. In Jesus' parable, this man gets no praise. But then we come to today, and who does Jesus highlight for us as kind of an object lesson? Ravens. Not the Baltimore Ravens. Right? If you want to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, talk to Joe after worship. He's a sports aficionado. Why would Jesus highlight birds? Because birds aren't going out, gathering, storing up. They're living day by day with just enough. Response number two, the Christians, the Christ followers' response and attitude is just this. I may not know what's going on in life, but here's my faith. My faith says this, I trust in my Heavenly Father to provide. Why? Because your Heavenly Father knows best. Are you in that situation right now? where there's a situation that just doesn't make sense. You're trying to sketch things out, and I know some of you pretty well. Some of you are planners. You're thinkers ahead, if that's even the right way to say it. Some of you are thinking, well, when I read through Scripture, I think the Apostle Paul forgot to put one more spiritual gift. It's called the spiritual gift of overanalysis. You know somebody like that? Do you live with somebody like that? My wife lives with somebody like that. But I find it gains me no ground. I can pore over it. I can cry over it. I can lose sleep over it. I can stress over it. I can get up at 3 in the morning, walk around the house until Kara wonders what's going on. But it doesn't change a thing. And yet when God in his grace draws me before the foot of the cross, in my devotional time, in my prayer, I get peace. Why? Because God loves me enough to communicate this to me. Seth, your heavenly Father knows best. And you know how we know that? Because your heavenly Father gave you his best. Who did he give you? Jesus Christ. Our little kiddos know this in chapel. Who went to the cross for us? Jesus. Why did he go there? To pay for our sins. And why did he do that? Because our Father knows best. Our Father knows that no matter how smart you are, no matter how many digits are in your bank account, no matter where you've been, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how many titles you have before your name or after your name, it's not going to do for you what needs to be done. But your Father loves you enough to do for you what you could never do for yourself through his son, Jesus. At the end of this passage we heard today, we heard this from Jesus, and I share this with you as we close. Luke 12:31-32, Jesus said this, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." If God can be trusted to care for us in the long run, won't he be faithful to you in the short run with whatever it is you're going through? My question to you this morning is just this. When you leave today, what kind of person will you be? Let's pray.